The Middle East has long been plagued by geopolitical conflicts, but now a crisis of a different sort is taking hold. The narcotics trade poses new security threats and risks for ever-changing societies whose conservative norms had usage in check. We explore the drivers behind the regional drug trade and why efforts to combat it have largely failed. Special correspondent Simona Foltin brings us the first of two reports from the region, tonight from Basra in southern Iraq.
As night falls over the southern port city of Basra, the anti-narcotics unit is dispatched for a mission in the battle against the booming drug trade. After years of conflict with ISIS, Iraq's security forces are now fighting an undeclared war against a new enemy, crystal meth.
The anti-drug unit just received information from a source about a dealer who is selling crystal meth out of his home, and they're on their way now to try to arrest him.
These operations happen nightly, and they're dangerous. In Basra alone, 7 police have been killed over the past year during raids like these. Luckily, the men face no resistance tonight as they detain the suspects. Brigadier General Ismail Ghanem Abdallah is in charge of the unit.
Show us where it is and we'll help you. We're coming for the crystal meth you keep in this house. We know someone who's buying from you.
Next door, investigators find what they're looking for. The young man and his father are taken away for questioning, but they're just small fish in a city that is flooded with crystal meth. Nestled on the Persian Gulf between Iran and Kuwait, Basra's strategic location has turned it into a hub for the regional drug trade. Crystal meth from Iran and Afghanistan is smuggled through Basra and onwards to the Gulf and the Mediterranean. But much of the drug is finding a market here, a country of 40 million plagued by rampant youth unemployment. The anti-narcotics unit sets up checkpoints every night to stop distribution inside the city, but apart from causing traffic jams and alienating residents, it does little to stop dealers.
We don't have the technology. We rely on human intelligence and our own resources. That's why it's sometimes difficult to, for example, locate a suspect while he's on a call. It takes a lot of time. The criminals are becoming more sophisticated, and we need to keep up.
The trade is facilitated by tribal networks, protected by powerful armed groups, and enabled by corrupt officials. A 2017 anti-narcotics law introduced rewards for informants and officers to increase interdictions and curb corruption. 5 years on, this unit hasn't received any funding.
If we had the resources, the number of informants would go up and corruption would go down. Instead, we depend on our relationships with sources. We appeal to their patriotism and our relations with them, and that's not enough.
In a worrying development, the traders are turning into producers. According to a 2020 UN report and two insiders the NewsHour spoke to, there are now crystal meth laboratories inside Iraq, something the government still officially denies.
There's no production or cultivation inside Iraq. Iraq is importing 100%.
And there's another problem. Iraq's prisons have become a breeding ground for drug dealers. General Ismail shows us the holding cells in a Basra police station, so crowded that not all prisoners can sit down at the same time.
If a drug user goes in there, it's like he's enrolling in school and he'll graduate as a dealer. Unfortunately, this is the current capacity of the state.
In the first 6 months of 2022, the government arrested a staggering 8,000 people on drug-related charges across Iraq. Police prisons like these are intended only for pretrial detention.
Half of these prisoners have already been convicted. They're supposed to be transferred to prisons run by the Ministry of Justice.
But those main prisons are also full.
There are more than 700 drug users and dealers crammed inside these prison cells, more than 4 times their intended capacity. It's a telling indicator of just how severely the drug epidemic is afflicting Iraqi society, and authorities are simply struggling to cope.
We're allowed to interview some prisoners, a rare opportunity for these men to leave the cramped prison cell and sit on a chair rather than the floor.
Two people share the same spot on the floor, and every 6 hours they swap. It's very depressing. It's a miserable situation. Even if you want to reform yourself, you can't in this place. All the thinking and talk inside revolves around drugs.
This man is serving a 6-year sentence for selling crystal meth, but it was his first stint in prison that turned him into a drug dealer.
Before I went to prison the first time, I knew 10 people who did drugs. In prison, I was introduced to 200. After I was released, we reconnected. The government does not provide any work opportunities, so I was obliged to start dealing.
Under Iraqi law, drug users get 1 to 3 years in prison, except for those who voluntarily seek treatment, if they can get a spot at Basra's only rehabilitation center. Its 44 beds are not enough to serve a city home to 4 million.
We are lacking the appropriate staff and the necessary infrastructure, and buildings are also not available. We are just in the beginning of the journey. Even the title psychotherapist doesn't officially exist in Iraqi government institutions.
Dr. Akhil Sabah is a psychiatrist leading group therapy sessions here, a new concept in a country where mental health is widely misunderstood and drug addiction is taboo.
People do not admit they are taking drugs. This is one reason which prevents them from coming to the hospital.
It took this patient, whom we'll call Ali, 7 years before he sought help for his addiction.
I did everything just to get the drugs. Something was pushing me to get the drugs. I would do anything, even if it meant stealing. I lost a lot. I lost my family. I lost my car. I lost money. I lost everything.
Ali doesn't want to leave the facility, fearing he'll relapse when he returns to the same environment. I ask him what percent of his friends smoke crystal meth. All of them, he replies. Ali blames Iraq's ruling elites for backing the drug trade to line their pockets and to numb the young, restive population into complacency.
Nobody thinks about the government. Nobody is thinking, where is the oil? Where is Iraq? Where we were and where we are headed to. Impossible. We are busy taking crystal and pills. Otherwise, we might think, why don't I have a job? Why is Iraq not like other countries?
The drug epidemic risks consuming Iraq's young generation. In a country crippled by political crises, unemployment, and rampant corruption, crystal meth offers the only escape. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Simona Foltin in Basra, southern Iraq.